Insatiable craving, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. For monks is this, it is a craving which produces re-becoming accompanied by passionate greed and finding fresh delight now here and now there, namely craving for sense pleasures, craving for existence and craving for non-existence.
Good evening, Dharma friends. Today we are going to talk about insatiable craving, the cause of the dukkha, the second noble truth. Why does suffering exist? Some people believe we suffer in life because of the will of the Creator God. Issara Nimana Hetuvada. Others believe our suffering is created by our past karma. Pubbe kata hetuvada. And still some others believe suffering is random. We suffer without a particular cause or condition. Ahetu apachyavada. The Buddha rejected all these ideas and concepts. And he traced down the cause of our suffering to our own craving, tanha. So, as you all listened or read the paragraph we chose for today's talk, the Buddha very clearly said, monks, what is the cause of suffering? And he said, yāyaṁ tanhā pono bhavikā nandirāga sahagata tatra tatrābi nandini. And he said, it is this very craving which produces rebirth, accompanied by passionate greed, looking for fresh delight now here, now there. So Buddha pointed out it is tanha which is the cause of suffering. There are few aspects to it. First of all, let's understand what the term tanha mean. The word tanha here means craving. It also can be translated as thirst, wanting more and more, greed, lust, all these meaning can be included here. But most importantly, craving. Craving is not the only cause of suffering, and it is also not the first cause of suffering. But craving is the most palpable cause of suffering. It is the most immediate, visible cause of suffering. That is why Buddha pointed out craving as the cause of suffering here. Craving is a tremendous force. It is the force behind evolution. It is the force behind sentient existence. The Buddha used three phrases here to elaborate what tanha is. He says, Pono Bhavika. This craving produces rebirth, rebecoming. Craving is such an immense force deep rooted in us, and it will not come to the end at the moment of the death. The body change and change and change, and it come to a point that it cannot stand anymore, and then it will collapse to the ground. What we call death, dissolution of psychophysical energies. But that is not the end of the craving. Craving can bring back us to the existence. So it is the craving which will bring a renewed existence, Pono Bhavika. So that itself gives us some understanding how powerful is this force. The craving doesn't die at the moment of our death. It's so powerful, and it goes beyond the death. The second phrase the Buddha used is Nandi Raga Sahagata. That explained the intensity of this very craving. Craving is a very dominant, powerful force. It's so intense, accompanied by passionate greed. That is the English translation. Here, the term passion is very important. We have passion for greed. We are infatuated with greed, with craving. Our inclination towards craving, our attachment, our obsession to craving, all these are expressed by the term Nandiraga Sahagata. That also explains our mind obsessed so much with this tremendous power, and it prevents us seeing anything go against it. So if anybody were to talk against craving, against gratification of this craving, we will consider him or her as someone not acceptable. So anyone who is talking against craving is seen as someone that we should not deal with. That is our inner oppression that we create. So that is what it called passionate by the craving and greed, Nandi Raga Sahagata. The third aspect the Buddha pointed out, it's insatiable, unsatisfactory aspect. Tatravi Nandini. Now this craving is looking for fresh delight. Now here, now there. It means it will never satisfy and it will never settle down. Sometimes we are looking for fresh delight through our eyes, another time through our ears, in other times maybe through our nose. So going from here to there, we are looking for fresh delight. Some people are going from country to country. Some others are going from restaurant to restaurant, looking for different foods. We are changing our partners. We are changing our relationships, looking for fresh delight here and fresh delight there. We do so many things in life, looking for novelty, looking for different pleasures. Once we achieve one type of pleasure and we are happy for a moment, and after some time we become bored, and then we want something new. So looking for fresh delight. We always think the grass on the other side of the fence is greener. Someone else is enjoying more than I. So in this way, we are motivated. We were driven by this force to look for fresh delight here and there. So these three terms express the tremendous grip of craving has influence towards us. Its power, which can influence beyond our death, our infatuation and attachment to it, which controlled our life and we become a slave to craving. And thirdly, its insatiable, unsatisfactory nature. So these three phrases were used by the Buddha to explain what he means by the term tanha. Then afterwards, Buddha explained the three aspects of the tanha. Seyati dang kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha. What is this craving? Namely, kama tanha, craving for sensual gratification. Bhava tanha, craving for existence. Vibhava tanha, craving for non-existence. For ordinary human being, gratifying the sensual pleasure is the only means to achieve happiness and satisfaction. Ordinary human beings, they will anticipate the sensual pleasure, gratify the sensual pleasure, and remembering of that sensual pleasure later stage, they will be happy. So these are known as anticipation, gratification, and remembrance of those sensual pleasures. And that is how ordinary human beings enjoy, and they do not know anything beyond this point. Everything we do in our life is centered around sensual pleasure. That is the core. That is the center. Everything else will fall in places. Now, Buddha recognized that sensual pleasure brings happiness and satisfaction. We should not misunderstand that the Buddha is against for sensual gratification. He's not against for sensual gratification. In fact, his followers, lay followers, they can gratify sensual pleasure in a righteous way and without being so deluded. However, here, tanha, craving for sensual gratification itself, can bring some degree of satisfaction, but what it doesn't bring is perfect satisfaction, ultimate satisfaction, complete satisfaction. No matter what, sensual gratification will still leave us some degree of unsatisfaction. It will create some sufferings and miseries. So kama tanha, sensual gratification, is not perfect in that sense because it has got some defects. We can look at it from three angles. First aspect of it is craving itself is insatiable. There is no single human being or divine being who fully satisfied one's own craving among ordinary human beings and divine beings. Because the nature of the craving is unsatisfactory. It cannot be satisfied. It's like a fire. When we provide the fuel, the fire will keep on burning, and burning fire will increase its flames, and increasing flames will demand more fuel. So we provide more fuel, and then the flame increase. When we satisfy one desire, another desire arises in its place. When we satisfy that desire, yet another one arises in its place. So in this way, craving is remaining. It is looking for satisfaction and keep on burning like a fire. Craving is like somewhat that we drink salty water thinking that we will be quenched our thirst. For a moment we will feel that we are quenched or thirst will disappear, but the second moment it will increase. Craving is also somewhat like somebody who is having eczema or sort of skin itchiness. When you scratch, you feel comfortable, but after some time you will feel more itchy and you have to still scratch some more. In this process, you are also producing more suffering for yourself. Craving cannot be fully satisfied. Our eyes are always waiting to see beautiful, pleasant sights. Our ears are always waiting to hear nice, soothing sounds. If someone were to come and say, "You are so beautiful, pretty, handsome," you will be so happy. And if someone were to say, "You are so clever and so smart," you will feel happy. Even though we know that they are in fact flattering, we still feel happy. We like to hear such words. Your nose is always looking for its favorite smells. Tongue is looking for the flavors. The body always look for comfort, and it will be satisfied with another body, or it will be satisfied some other ways, looking for comfort with tangible objects. So in this way, in our body, we have these five sense faculties always looking for fresh delight here and there. That is what we call sensual pleasure. So kama tanha. So first reason why the satisfying craving cannot bring us lasting happiness, lasting joy, and lasting peace is because craving itself is insatiable. The Buddha says, "Na kahapana vassena titti kamesu vijjati." The craving of the human beings are such, even though if they were to have a rain of golden coins, the greed, craving, desire for money will not be satisfied. There won't be anyone who thinks that this is enough. From the day that we are born until up to the day that we are living, we are trying to satisfy this insatiable craving. So craving is insatiable. Second reason why Buddha says that satisfying the craving is not the solution to the problem of suffering, but itself is the cause of suffering, because sensual pleasure is fleeting. It is impermanent, subject to change and disappear. In order to enjoy sensual pleasure, we need to have sense faculties. These five sense faculties, our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body. And these five sense faculties, they are changing. When we are getting old, they lose their sharpness. They lose the ability to derive the sense pleasure. Against our will and wish, these sense faculties, they fall sick, they get old, and eventually when the body dies, they too die. So these sense faculties are not reliable. We cannot depend on as the source for happiness. What about sense objects? They are also subject to change and disappear. Whatever you see through your eye, whatever you hear through your ear, whatever you smell through your nose, and whatever the flavors, whatever the tangibles, all these sight, sound, smell, touch sensations, and all these, they are subject to change and disappear. We wish this pleasurable, favorable, sensual pleasure be ours forever. But against our will and wish, they change and disappear. When they change and disappear against our will and wish, we become sorrow, we become sad. Lamentation, pain, grief, despair, these are the part of this process. Sensual pleasure itself is changing. The moment you enjoy sensual pleasure, and itself, it is fleeting. It's like a water bubble. Moment it arises, and the next moment it will disappear. In the same way as sense faculties and sense objects and sensual pleasures, which are subject to change and disappear, they are also unsatisfactory. Because yadanichantandukkang, whatever is unsatisfactory, cannot bring us lasting happiness, lasting solution to the problem of suffering. But it becomes itself the cause of suffering. And the third reason why craving become the cause of suffering rather than the solution, because craving itself produces so much miseries and sufferings. In order to achieve sensual pleasure, we need to have wealth, power, glory, popularity, and many other things. Sensual pleasure doesn't come out of nothing. We have to earn. In the process of earning the sensual pleasure, human beings, we have to compete with each other. So in this process of competing with each other, and there are much more suffering is created. Human beings having sensual pleasure as its center point, as its goal, they will kill each other. They will go to create various kind of violence. They will steal, engage in sexual misconduct, and do various other crimes, starting from the smallest quarrels between two kids till up to the biggest wars in this world. They all have sensual pleasure as center point. Millions of people are imprisoned, killed, tortured. Even by now, the war is going on somewhere in the world. And we are destroying this flora and fauna because of human greed. And every day, millions of animals were slaughtered. Some of them were kept as prisoners for our visual satisfaction. Some of them were used for the research. But all these, in the name of our development. However, if you go to the center of it, you will see it is the craving, self-centered, blind craving. So when we compare the immense of suffering that we put up with in order to satisfy our craving, in fact, the Buddha says that satisfaction is so insignificant. In Potaliya Sutta, he gives us a beautiful, striking simile to understand it. And he compares the sensual pleasure to a meatless bone smeared with blood. And he says, suppose there is a hungry dog waiting near the butcher's shop, waiting for some food. Then this butcher will toss a bone meatless bone smeared with blood. This dog will go and grab it, and he cannot eat it because it's a piece of bone. But he will still lick it, possess it, fight with the other dogs, and he will try to satisfy his hunger. But in the process of trying to satisfy his hunger, he will become more weak, weary, and suffer more. But still, he likes it. His craving will keep him bound to it. So he will. So the Buddha compared this scene is similar to human mind, which is obsessed with craving. And when the mind is obsessed with this craving, we will not see anything else other than the goal of achieving that desired. In Mahadukkakhanda Sutta, the Buddha, in fact, explained, even while enjoying the sensual pleasure, we are undergoing so much pain and suffering. So there are five stages beautifully explained. First of all, if we look at the craving impartially, without judging and taking side, and with a peaceful mind and with mindfulness, you might notice the moment craving arises in the mind to achieve something, it may be some sensual objects, maybe a relationship, it may be anything else, it can be power, it can be glory, it can be anything else, whatever. When the craving arises to achieve that particular thing, that itself is suffering. Why? Because you do not have what you desire. You crave for something that you do not have at that moment. So day and night, you crave for it. You have so much mental agony, stress. Then, second stage, when you have craving to achieve it, you will pursue it. You will struggle to achieve it. In the process of struggling, you will experience stress, tension, and many other miseries. You have to work hard to achieve it. Sometimes you might face physical injuries, competition with the others. This is the second stage, while you're still struggling to achieve the sensual pleasure. Now the third stage, while you are trying to achieve that desired sensual objects, whether it is a relationship or whether it is something else, one possibility is that you may be failed. You will be rejected by the other party, or you will not be given your desired promotion. And this is called rejection, failed. The moment you failed, then you make yourself so miserable, saying that I work hard so much, I deserve it, but I did not get it. So I feel so sad, unhappy, miserable. This is the third stage. Fourth stage, suppose while trying to achieve that desire or craving, you become successful and achieve it, which is ideal situation. And the moment you achieve the desired things, and you become happy and joyful. So this is called satisfaction, sensual satisfaction. We acknowledge it, but there is a new problem. What is the new problem now? You have to protect what you have achieved. In order to protect what you achieved, sometimes you have to fight with other people because there might be others who would like to come and take away the thing that you achieved with so much desire, with so much effort and craving. It can be your wealth, it can be your relationship, it can be your promotion, it can be anything else. So you have to put up with this struggle to protect it. So you have to fight for it. And you will always have the fear of losing that object. Then the fifth stage. Sooner or later, the moment will come that you have to lose it. Either while you are living, these sensual pleasure that you grab will disappear eventually. These people that you start a relationship might disappear, they will change, or you might change, or the death might happen, or anything can happen, and then you have to put up with this separation. So here in this discourse, the Buddha pointed out the craving. While we are trying to satisfy and gratify it, and while there is some degree of satisfaction, it is always beset with suffering, pain, grief. The second aspect of the craving is bhava tanha, craving for existence. So we should not think that craving will come to the end when we die. That is not so. In Rattapala Sutta, the Buddha says, Uno loko atitho tanha daso. The world is lacking. The human beings always think, not enough, not enough, lacking. Insatiate, tanha daso. People have become slaves to their own craving. Uno ahutvana jahanti deham. Kamehi lokamhi nahi atititti. The moment you die as unsatisfied human beings. Craving is still remain as a dominant force. This body cannot provide you any more sensual pleasure that you need. But the craving for sensual pleasure is so immense. And then that craving itself will bring renewed existence, re-becoming, rebirth. So it's a desire deep in our heart to be born again and again and again. So we have wishes. So this is called bhava tanha, craving for existence again and again and again. The Buddha recognized the craving as the house builder. Here the term house is used to mean five aggregates of clinging. So the craving is the house builder. And immediately after his enlightenment, he uttered a pian of joy. He said, Aneka jati sansarang sanda visang anibbisang gahakarkang gavesantu dukkha jati punapuna. I'm not going to repeat the rest of the poems, but this first one. Throughout many births, I wandered, looking for the house builder. Gahakaraka dittosi punagihannakahasi. Today I spotted you, and you are not going to build this house. Repeated existence of birth and death cycle again. Sabbatepa sukha bhagga. All your the network is destroyed. So here Buddha is referring to craving itself. So Buddha destroyed the craving, and that is the end of the suffering. So the cause of the suffering is the craving, and the end of the suffering is its removal, complete destruction. So the craving for existence is another form of craving exist in our mind. And that is so dominant and powerful. And the third aspect of the craving is vibhava tanha. Vibhava tanha means craving for non-existence. So now we try to satisfy our cravings, but in spite of our effort, we come to a point that we cannot achieve full satisfaction in life. When we cannot achieve that satisfaction by gratifying our own craving, we become so disappointed with our life. We disappoint with ourselves. Then, with that disappointment, we create aversion towards ourselves, a kind of anger, kind of hatred towards ourselves. And then we think, I do not want to exist. I want to kill myself. So these are the people who do self-inflicting things. They might cut their hand. They might knock their head against the wall. They might do self-injury. They might kill themselves. It is another form of craving. But those who commit suicide thinking that it will end up the suffering, in fact, is misunderstood the solution. When you have the craving for non-existence, it's another form of clinging, and it is not the end of this journey. Those who commit suicide thinking that it is the solution to the problem of suffering will be born in lower realms most of the time and continue their suffering more intensively or more intensely. So friends, as the Buddha pointed out, tanha is a tremendous force, and it's a powerful force. It's so powerful, and it can bring us to renewed existence, life after life. In Anamataga Samyutta, there are groups of discourses which starts with Anamataggoyang bhikkave sansaro pubba kotina panyayati. Monks, the beginning of the beginning or end of this birth death cycle, sansara, cannot be discerned. Then further, he explained that hindered by ignorance and fettered by craving, we have wandered in this long cycle of existence. And he gives a lot of similes to understand this. So here the most important part is hindered by ignorance and fettered by craving. Ignorance and craving coupled together. As long as ignorance remained, craving will have its grip on us. The Noble Eightfold Path is the path that helps us to develop the necessary spiritual power, the power of wisdom, which will dispel the ignorance together with its craving, which we will attain the Supreme Enlightenment. So here, in Second Noble Truth, the Buddha pointed out craving as the cause of suffering, and not only for this life, of course, and going beyond the death, it will reappear as renewed existence, and it will make us go round and round in this cycle of existence. Okay, I think this is enough as an elaboration of this sutta. Yeah.